We got breaking news. James Comey subpoenaed in grand conspiracy probe.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's Friday. We made it here. Will and I are, you know what? Let's just be honest with you. Okay, look, okay. There's a lot of news going on, but sometimes there's not a lot of news. Sometimes we got to come up with what we're going to talk about. This one is another interesting one because, you know, when you put a James Comey in the title, you may go, Logan, is it 2016 again?
Are you running a tape on a Friday?
Did you find a tape from 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
Well, we actually are talking about something that did happen close to 10 years ago at this point now, because James Comey has been subpoenaed in what they're considering the grand conspiracy, is what Tulsi Gabbard even referred to, I believe, as.
That's right.
The grand conspiracy, the case against ex-officials who investigated and prosecuted President Trump, of course, saying that they were trying to stop the election back in 2016. And I guess we have updates on that because we have new people in charge. Where are we at, Will?
That's right. So as you remember, when Tulsi Gabbard became the director of national intelligence, she did start looking at the work product of the intelligence community. That is part of what is her purview. There's 19 intelligence agencies that are under the purview of the director of national intelligence. And she released a lot of findings about the way that they abused the system and changed the rules and made up things, included things that previously they had discredited in order to try and frame President Trump, who had then been elected at that point, and say he was a part of a Russia collusion conspiracy, which ended up being the Russia collusion hoax. We've been through all that. She referred to it, though, as this grand conspiracy within different intelligence agencies, with James Comey, with James Clapper, with John Brennan. Even the president of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, was caught up in this as well. So now we know that a federal prosecutor has impaneled a grand jury in Florida and is looking into this, conducting this investigation, presenting evidence before a grand jury about this grand conspiracy probe, in what the end game of a prosecutor would be, to seek indictments of individuals. What we now know is that a subpoena has been issued to James Comey to testify before this grand jury, and we will see where that goes. But it also tells me that the higher named players, the bigger players, are now being subpoenaed to come give this testimony, that it is probably getting close to the time where the prosecutor would try to get the indictment returned by a grand jury.
That's right. And phone lines are open. We'll even break down a little bit later what it means, because there are some, you know, moments here of whether this is in a statute of limitations. Where are we at? We can discuss that as well, the kind of legal side of it. We will be joined by one of our ACLJ attorneys as well with a big update, as today, or yesterday, I guess, was the deadline.
Last night, yeah.
For California, for Gavin Newsom to respond, and they did. We'll get to that coming up in the third segment of the day, but I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110 as we wrap up this week. And of course, we are over halfway. It's March 20th at this point. March 20th. We are almost to the end of our Double Your Impact Drive. We're going to have a very special week next week where we are going to be showcasing a lot of different things. I'm just going to tease that out there. But this will kind of be the last week of the traditional Double Your Impact Drive, the last day of it. So be a part of it today. Your donation matters, and your donation is matched. Go to ACLJ.org. Have your tax-deductible donation doubled today. Again, Gavin Newsom finally responded yesterday in the state of California. We'll talk about that. We have critical filings due today for the pro-life preachers. We got a lot going on in the world of the ACLJ. It's not just a show. You know that. We have a big legal side. We want you to be a part of it again at ACLJ.org. But in the meantime, also phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And we got some time today to hear from you. So give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. Again, when we get back, if you are just tuning in right now, James Comey subpoenaed, what it means and what will happen next when we get back.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith.
The best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I do want to hear from you today, so give me a call. It's a Friday. We made it to the end of the week. Look, I'll be honest, a little bit of a light news day, so you know, we'll take some calls and comments on any of the topics we brought up today. ACLJ work, Iran, whatever you want to chat about.
The SAVE Act. Remember, we talked about that
SAVE
early in the week.
SAVE Act.
Yep,
how about some of the topics the news has moved on from? Whatever you want to talk about, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. But a lot of you are just joining us right now. We can see when sort of the numbers kick in, specifically on YouTube and Rumble. And I can see that. So a lot of you are probably tuning in right now going, what is this with James Comey? James Comey has been subpoenaed. Why? And why now? And how is it okay that it's actually almost a decade later that they can still do this? So let's start with, what is it, Will? Why is it happening? Why does it matter? Do we need to look into this at all?
That's right. So last year, a U.S. prosecutor, U.S. attorney, had sought a grand jury to be impaneled in Florida, which the judge complied with and granted that, and went to investigate this grand conspiracy that Tulsi Gabbard and Director John Ratcliffe of the CIA had both talked about, where it wasn't just instances of them trying to weaponize the government and the intelligence community against the president-elect. It was this grand conspiracy is the name that she gave to it. And when you look at this, the prosecutor has been working now since last year and has subpoenaed more than 130 or issued more than 130 subpoenas since that grand jury was impaneled. This investigation isn't at the beginning, but now you're seeing that the former FBI director, James Comey himself, is being subpoenaed in this investigation. To me, that looks like they, you know, you do all the grunt work. You start with probably the lowest players in this or people that may have information, and you build up, and then you've got your narrative before the grand jury. And then you're going to have the people that you're probably seeking an indictment against, both James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan. Those are the ones that, remember, John Brennan said, I know that the dossier, we don't think it's true, but doesn't it ring true? You know, those are the types of things that are going to potentially get them in trouble.
How could we forget?
Was the way they weaponized the intelligence against the person who had just been elected by the American people. When you get to that point, they start subpoenaing the players that are probably the target of the investigation. You almost infer that they are getting close to asking for charges to be returned from the grand jury, that they are getting near the end of the investigation stage and potentially going towards an indictment.
I want to bring that up because this is not some willy-nilly thing that just happened. Tulsi Gabbard was talking about this almost a year ago at this point. You know, last July was discussing this with reporters during a White House presser. I think we should flash back. Let's hear from it. This is our friend, former colleague, Tulsi Gabbard.
Based on what you now see, do you believe President Obama is guilty of treason?
I'm leaving the criminal charges to the Department of Justice. I am not an attorney, but as I've said previously, when you look at the intent behind creating a fake manufactured intelligence document that directly contradicts multiple assessments that were created by the intelligence community, the expressed intent and what followed afterward can only be described as a years-long coup and a treasonous conspiracy against the American people, our republic, and an attempt to undermine President Trump's administration.
And remember, Logan, that is the Director of National Intelligence.
She was in July. So again,
right,
nearly a year ago. So people that they start, you know, pushing narratives going, well, they're only doing this right now to distract what's going on. This is clearly, as you said, a late stage process of this.
Right. And after she presented this information, there were also criminal referrals that were given over from John Ratcliffe, the CIA director, to the Department of Justice. And the Department of Justice started working on that almost a year ago. We always talk about the, you know, sometimes the wheels of justice turn very slowly. We talk about with some of our cases how it takes years to get the resolution finally, and sometimes it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. That when they are doing an investigation and trying to do it the right way in order to secure an indictment if they believe that there's been a violation of the law, you don't want it to be rushed. And I would also point to some of the charges against James Comey that were dropped in the Northern District of Virginia were because it was kind of rushed. They were up against a timeline with a statute of limitations and rushed to get it done, and that judge threw them out. I feel like the U.S. attorney in Florida is wanting to do this in such a way that it is, if there are indictments, charges to be brought here, it is not going to be just thrown out because it was rushed. It's going through a process. Now, this conspiracy angle that both Tulsi Gabbard brought up, but then also the way that it's being described by the media, if that is what the U.S. attorney is doing, now remember, grand jury proceedings are secret. We won't know what is said in that. We don't know and should not know. Those are secret for a reason. But if that is the angle they are going for, a conspiracy, that is where the timeline of the statute of limitations shifts. Because if you have an individual crime, then the crime itself, there's normally about a five-year statute of limitations.
So if you can tie it back.
Some things have different things, different extended. Right. But typically, one of these, if it was just an individual action, would be like a five-year statute of limitations. 2016, way beyond that.
Yeah, 10 years.
The difference is that with a conspiracy charge, if the individuals guilty of that conspiracy or alleged to be guilty of that are continuing the conspiracy, they haven't given it up.
Yeah, they're tied to it.
And when you hear from these individuals, they still repeat the same lines from that time, then that conspiracy can be looked at by the U.S. law and courts and prosecutors as an ongoing conspiracy. The point of the 2016 election may be well over, but the continuance of that to still hold the line on their narrative that they weaponized the government for can extend that. And even some reporters point back to some testimony that even in 2023 that James Comey had given that would be in line with the original conspiracy that they are alleging that could also extend it. So there's a lot of wiggle room, yeah, so to speak, when it becomes a conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to hear from you about this. We do have some calls coming in on some unrelated topics. We'll get to those coming up. But if you do have a question or comment related to this, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we look to what's next. What does this mean then? But also, what does it mean when you talk about future presidents, future president of the United States? And of course, yesterday we spent a good portion of our show talking about Gavin Newsom and the Newsom family as an unearthed clip of his wife really going after directly by name evangelical conservative Christians. was played over and over and over again by us and by a lot of outlets that wanted to share this is what we're talking about from the state of California. And in response to that also, the ACLJ has been hard at work in a battle with the state of California. They have fought to claim over $1 million in fines that they had levied against Calvary Chapel of San Jose. Now, a lot of these came during COVID times, the early days of COVID, when we were unsure. Everyone was unsure what was going on. Now, we are quite a bit removed. We are 6 years removed from the original, yeah, probably about this week, about 6 years ago from the pandemic of the first week when everything shut down. We know the impact that happened. Of course, we know so much more now, 6 years later. And now we have gotten some official responses. Yesterday was the official day to hear from California. And we're going to have our ACLJ attorney, Nathan, joining us in the next segment to break down the update coming out of California. Because look, as much as you want to discount what happens in California or New York or any of these places, look, we got a lot of listeners there, we got a lot of supporters there. But I know I see some of the comments coming in saying, why do I care? Because these big metropolitan areas, these big states, California, you know, where there's a lot of people, often impact what happens around the country. First starting in your major cities, and then we've seen how it actually impacts smaller towns, smaller communities, smaller school districts, all of those things throughout the country. So that's why the ACLJ has to be there for all, whether that is going up against the governor and going up against the state of California. You know, the government of California, obviously, not the people of California. Or we have to be there for an individual student who needs support. Or we need to be there for a president of the United States. Or we need to be there for the people in Nigeria, Christians that are being persecuted. Or we need to be at the UN Human Rights Council talking about Israel. We have to be there because there's often people who go on and go, I feel like there's nothing I can do. But the ACLJ is there. And we are there and can be your voice. So I encourage you, as we wrap up today, start really headed towards the end of our Double Your Impact Drive. Only a week left in it. I want you to be part of it. And really, today's the last day of the traditional Double Your Impact Drive. We're going to have a special week coming up next week. So I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ right now. Leave the QR code up on the screen. I'd appreciate you doing that right now. If you are watching, scan it or just go to aclj.org. All donations are doubled right now. And that is just some of the work that we're doing. We have so much happening. Again, around the country, we got a robust legal and media team, a presence on Capitol Hill, and around the world, whether the United Nations or however it may be, whether the European Center, the ACLJ Jerusalem. None of this happens without your support. So go to aclj.org right now. We'll be right back.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Welcome back to Secular. We do have some lines open at 1-800-684-3110 in the back half. Just me and Will, so we would love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead and get on hold. Yesterday was a big day for the ACLJ, of course, in our fight for Calvary Chapel, San Jose versus the state of California. If you want to know what side we're on, I feel like you probably could figure it out. Of course, we are on the side of Calvary Chapel. And one of our attorneys, Nathan, is joining us right now, Will, but I want you to give a little bit of a setup here because the response came in. Yesterday was a big deadline.
Right.
And I know we talked a little bit on the air, but maybe we can give people a bit of a setup before we get to Nathan.
That's right. Remember, we filed our cert petition. That's the petition asking the Supreme Court to take up this case back in December of 2025. So right at the end of the year. And then that automatically triggers a clock for the state to respond. The original response due date for California was January 16th of this year. They filed a motion to ask for an extension. Not unusual. That happens, especially at that level at the Supreme Court, to move that, and it was granted to move it to February 17th. So then we were waiting mid-February for a response from the state of California, and lo and behold, they ask for another extension. This is where it gets into a little bit of uncharted territory, asking for a second extension, but the state did grant the Supreme Court, rather, did grant this second extension to push that response deadline to yesterday, March 19th. And Nathan, we got the response from the state yesterday late in the afternoon. There you see it on the screen. That is their brief they filed to the Supreme Court. And what this purpose of their response, because it is at this cert petition stage, we are asking the court to take this up. Their entire goal here is to tell the Supreme Court and ask them, say, you don't need to deal with this. Don't waste your time here. It's just rely on what the state courts in this case looked at, and let's just move on. What's kind of your breakdown of the response from California?
So it's really interesting what they do in this brief, and I'm not sure it's very consistent with the fact that they took this long to write it. Because rather than arguing that the state court got it right, instead, they try to argue that this case isn't worth the Supreme Court's attention. What they try to do is essentially say, well, COVID was a long time ago. It doesn't still matter. Why would we think that a case about COVID fines would still have implications for religious liberty today? That's their main argumentative tactic. And of course, as we all know, that's just not consistent with the ongoing trends we see from the left. Right? The battle has not stopped since COVID-19. With restrictions over churches and whether they can meet and when they can meet. The battle just keeps going every single day.
Yeah, Nathan, it feels like if that was the case, then drop the fines. You know, if right. They decided that it was no longer of value to them and it didn't matter anymore, well, there's a simple solution to that in many ways.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And I think it's particularly striking because this is the argument they have to make. First, they argue that the case doesn't matter, but then, of course, they have to say, well, the case doesn't matter, but these fines were justified. And so they try still relying on that same logic that we heard 5 or 6 years ago. They still try to blame churches for the spread of COVID and blame churches for allowing people to meet as if that somehow caused the spread of disease. So they continue with the exact same arguments they've always been making, and now they're making them to the Supreme Court.
Well, and I also feel like some of these arguments in here are that, you know, it happened, but it's so unlikely that we're going to have another century, once in a century pandemic that forces us to put these rules back in place. Their focus here, and what I found interesting, is on the restrictions themselves and not even that they are still forcing this fine. Now, I understand that is the root of all of this, but when I read their brief, about 28 pages, saw nothing really about the issue of even still holding these fines against them and the precedent that could set, because they're trying to argue this isn't even precedential. Like, in the state, we're not even going to use these fines against someone else later because this happened here. And that's another way they're trying to say it's not worth the Supreme Court's time.
Exactly. But the fundamental reality is that fines like this have a huge effect, not just on our client and its offerings and ties that are being trying to taken by the state, but have this effect on every other church in California too. This, I love all our work, but this case is particularly personal to me. My dad's a pastor, and he ministered in a church in California during COVID-19. And what every church in California saw was these draconian orders, right? And so these fines are just this last attempt to still wring one more thing out of churches. What we pointed out in our cert petition, the Supreme Court had to multiple times, over and over again, issue real rulings that California courts were getting it wrong, that the California government was getting it wrong with its COVID orders. And so this is really just the next case in a long line of cases that the ACLJ was involved in from the start of California going after churches, punishing churches, just because they were seeking to worship freely in accord with their conscience.
Now, Nathan, this was obviously their brief in opposition to our cert petition. Will we have another brief in responding to their opposition? And what are kind of the next steps here as we await what hopefully is a grant order from the Supreme Court?
Yeah, so our reply brief is due April 2nd. So we have a little under 2 weeks to get our brief in to the Supreme Court. And unlike California, we don't plan to ask for extra time. Rather, we're seeking to get this before the Supreme Court as soon as we can to urge the Supreme Court to take the case. And so once our brief is submitted, at that point, we'll be waiting to see what the court may do. Sometimes that can take a rather long time. Sometimes it might happen more quickly. And really, the next question is going to be, will the Supreme Court take this case on the merits and protect religious freedom in California once and for all? So that's what we'll be watching for after April 2nd.
All right, we'll keep an update on that. Look, this is a continual struggle with California. We want to be there to support our friends, our allies, Christians in California, people that want to practice their faith openly, loudly. And when we know the governor himself is not too big of a fan of that, and specifically we know the governor's family is not too big of a fan of that, maybe we could even flash back to remember, this is what was unearthed yesterday from just a couple years ago, but you know, kind of while all this was happening. This is the governor's wife, Jennifer Newsom.
But again, the folks on the far right, they're missing is just this, they're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately it's just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be, and we're not going to be, because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now and they're woke and they're not going to let us go back. And so I have so much hope because of that. And obviously, California has a huge responsibility to lead.
Of course. And we want to actually be there for you, the Californians who are listening right now, who are evangelical Christians, who maybe are stuck in that silo of evangelical Christianity. And of course, we want to be there for everyone around the country and around the world as well. But you know, when you're being called out specifically, that is why we are representing Calvary Chapel. That is why we keep, you know, we have people like Rick Grinnell who would join us on the broadcast in California. That's why we have Jeff Balaban, Israel, New York. These areas where we know there's a lot of you out there who support similar thoughts, beliefs, and values, but maybe you're not heard because the government of the state decides to belittle you. We're not going to stand for that. We're going to stand up for you, but only happens. We only get the best of the best attorneys, the best media team. We can only present this show with excellence with your support. So go to ACLJ.org and do it today and make a donation, because we are wrapping up our Double Your Impact Drive. Don't miss your opportunity to have your donation match today at ACLJ.org. Second half hour of the show coming up on ACLJ.org.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact.
And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. I'd love to hear from you. They're completely open. I'll be honest. There's a lot of you watching right now, but not a lot of you calling. 1-800-684-3110. We'll restate what we're discussing here. Off the top here, of course, this has to do with James Comey being subpoenaed, but we're also going to move on and discuss a bit of what's going on as Iran has threatened a worldwide threat to tourism and tourist sites, what that's going to mean for the future. And of course, as we know, there are historic issues right now with the TSA, with the Department of Homeland Security due to the shutdown that is keeping things really delayed. You have a city like Atlanta, which has been, you know, one of the top airports in the country. You're posting lines of 2 to 3 to 4 hours just to get through security right now. This is not a fun time to be traveling. Plus, you add on that now they're issuing these threats. What's that going to look like leading up? We want to hear you from you at 1-800-684-3110, all about it. Once again, at 1-800-684-3110. As we, again, begin to wrap up our Double Your Impact drive, I want you to be a part of it as well, as you got to support the work of the ACLJ, as our team is hard at work. And again, all donations are matched right now, which is amazing. That means there's another ACLJ supporter or ACLJ champion. And again, I encourage you to become a champion. That's someone that gives regularly on an ongoing monthly basis, like a membership. All you have to do is sign up and opt in. And of course, you can cancel at any time. But that really helps us out, helps us set a great baseline for the organization. It helps us move forward. But let's reset a little bit here, Will.
That's right. We started this broadcast today talking about the subpoena that was issued to James Comey, and this comes out of an investigation that is centered in Florida, where a U.S. attorney is looking into the grand conspiracy claims, things that were brought up by Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, also by the Director of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, and the way that the intelligence community was weaponized against the president after President Trump was elected in 2016. And that was shifted. The narrative was changed. A new intelligence community assessment, ICA, was ordered by President Obama. And this is after all the ICAs before that had said the opposite of what then they put out. And that was a weaponized tool to then spark the FBI investigation, Crossfire Hurricane, as well as then leading to the firing of James Comey and the appointment of special counsel Bob Mueller. So what we're looking at is an investigation that's been going on since last year. Now James Comey will have to testify before this grand jury as this U.S. attorney seeks an indictment of someone or something. That is the big unknown at this point, because grand jury, these proceedings are secret. They are meant to be secret. They will remain secret. But it also tells you it is probably nearing the end, that they're having the bigger names come forward now. It also is curious that he is going to testify before the grand jury, because he may be a target of this, but they also may be seeking to get information from him about other individuals. So I do think that this is a big development. This is a big move. I am curious to see what reporting comes out of this, and I'm curious to see how close we are to some sort of indictment being requested from this grand jury in Florida.
That's right, and we'd love to hear from you on this at 1-800-684-3110. We got three lines still open. I want to hear from you. 1-800, like Will said, 684-3110. We're also going to talk a little about Iran coming up in the next segment, and then we're going to wrap up taking as many calls and comments as we have. Just Will and I for the next half hour, so you can be a part of that conversation as well, and I encourage you to do that. Of course, if you're just tuning in right now, we are wrapping up our Double Your Impact drive very soon. So if you want to have that opportunity, have your donation matched. Again, we're going to have a new special week next week. So this is sort of the last day of our traditional Double Your Impact drive. Scan that QR code. And how is it doubled? Because great ACLJ supporters and champions are ready to match any donation that comes in throughout the month. It's really amazing. We can't do it without you, and we couldn't do it without them. So this is a great time to join the ACLJ team. Your support fuels this team. Our legal team, our media team, if you like this show, if you like our legal work, hopefully you like both. I encourage you to do it today at ACLJ.org. When we get back, I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Seculo. I didn't also want to miss the opportunity to see a lot of comments coming in. Of course, a lot of talk around the office of the passing of Chuck Norris, obviously an acting legend, a great man of faith, a good man of character who has been a public pop culture icon really for our entire lives and before. So, of course, our prayers to his family, a life well lived with Chuck Norris. Again, someone who has made many appearances on Christian media throughout the years and just seemed overall like an American legend. So good on him. And a great supporter also of Israel. You know, someone who spent a lot of time there visiting, even with Prime Minister Netanyahu. So again, another voice sadly gone, but again, a life well lived. So I wanted to say that.
Also, his support for the military.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one, just a patriot in and of itself, but he went to visit with troops deployed in Iraq back in the early 2000s and used that time and his time to go and try and boost the morale of American soldiers and troops. So just did so much for not just pop culture, but just for the country. Like, yeah. He truly was
like
a patriot.
Guy. He seemed like a very good guy. And obviously a leader in the martial arts, which I think a lot of people were brought to martial arts because of Chuck Norris. So with that, there are a lot of calls and comments coming in. And of course, there's obviously updates going on from around the world, the threats that are around the world. Sadly, we don't have Chuck Norris, someone who can protect us from a lot of those threats, it feels like. You know, when you talk about Iran, there is still obviously an ongoing battle. There's an ongoing military engagement that's happening. And there are still, though a lot of the leadership has been taken out, there are still threats coming in from Iran. Iran threatened publicly, essentially. And some of this is, again, to scare you, is to make you feel at unease. And look, I understand Americans feel that way right now quite a bit. By saying, specifically now, as we start to head into spring kicked off today. Today's first day of spring. People start traveling. They start looking at different places, tourist destinations. And Iran essentially said, around the world, do not feel safe at these tourist destinations.
That's right. So even though overnight, in the ongoing conflict, their chief minister of propaganda, basically, who oversaw that entire operation, yeah, which was very robust from the Iranians. They are very good at utilizing technology and also laws that allow for free speech and things to their advantage by going after narratives online. But that person was taken out. But yet still, a top military spokesman warned today that parks, recreational areas, and tourist destinations worldwide won't be safe for Tehran's enemies. Now, this is not unexpected that this is a threat. Obviously, they are going to continue to make threats as long as they try to hold on to power. But this is the threat that we have been concerned about the entire time. We already know there have been multiple attempted terror attacks in the United States since this conflict began from radical Islam. We know the motivations and the ideology of these individuals that have tried to carry out these attacks. This is at a time where our nation's Department of Homeland Security is defunded. That includes our Coast Guard, by the way, that protects the homeland from attacks.
Yeah, we said that's one of the most concerning parts of it.
The Coast Guard, our Border Patrol, as well as ICE, which we know they've also exploited the southern border to get people in this country. We know that more than 300 people on the terror watch list entered this country during the Biden administration. So when they talk about parks, recreational areas, tourist destinations worldwide, I don't think this is an empty threat. I think they will continue to say that we will defeat the great Satan, we will bring down Israel, we will destroy Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. They can say those things. I don't believe that they have the capacity to do that. This one, I think they do. I think they do have the capacity to sow terror around the world as they've done for 47 years. They've been the world's largest exporter of terrorism for the entirety of the Islamic Republic. That is one of the many tools that they love to use to show their power. They are a paper tiger when it came to their military. They've been able to launch drones and launch missiles, but their air defenses and their air force and their navy was never as strong as they like to show it off as. And now we're seeing, though, what are they probably going to revert to? The thing that they actually were the best at, which is terrorism. And it is just absurd to me that the Democrats in the Senate will not get together and say, we think, according to our own polling and the way we're acting, we're about to take the Senate back over. Do a year funding, do a 6-month funding of Department of Homeland Security while we're in this conflict. You can't do that for the American people. Really? It's absurd.
There are a lot of calls and comments coming in. Most of them are related actually to our work going on in California, which I think that's interesting. That's what struck the nerve today of our audience. It's always great to have calls and comments because we're able to kind of see. You know, we talked about the Comey situation. I probably did okay. Some of you guys wanted to talk about it. We got one call about it. We could take a call about that. Because the rest of them are really about what's going on in California and the fight, really, against churches around the country. So let's start off with a call about Comey, and then I'm going to take some calls about what's going on in California because so many of you are interested in that topic. Let's go to Michael in Florida. Go ahead, watch it on YouTube.
Gentlemen, I just want to say that being the consummate skeptic when it comes to the left and the woke left, never seeming to have to pay for anything. But yet with this new update with Comey, I just got to say, this makes me really happy.
You know, Michael, if there is an indictment and they are able to prosecute James Comey, I think there are a lot of people that will share that feeling with you. I know a lot of people that watch this broadcast get so jaded because we talk about this. Around this for so long.
This is a decade at this point.
Exactly. And it is frustrating when seems to be no accountability. Now, there's not no accountability. James Comey is no longer the FBI director. He may think that he has some sort of platform. Really, I don't think anyone watches James Comey's little post.
He did the seashells, right?
He did, the 86, 47. Yeah. He also did one weird one about like the naming of a certain one of these operations. Like maybe it was Arctic Frost or what. And it was just so uncomfortable. No one really likes James Comey, so I think to some degree They are. He is held responsible. His entire legacy is completely ruined. But yes, I think that what many people in the government did right after President Trump was elected rises to the level of criminality. And I think a lot of us would like to see someone actually held accountable. Remember, there was a CIA attorney that purposely lied on a filing to a judge and got a slap on the wrist. So we have seen too many people evade real accountability. It would be nice to see something.
And look, with the ACLJ cases, you know, I have a list here next to me. One of them is earlier this week, we had big deadlines in our FOIA cases involving James Comey's use of spies in the White House and about Arctic Frost. Again, two of our roughly 20 ongoing FOIA cases are against what was considered to be, I guess you'd say, deep state operations. So again, the ACLJ is involved in a lot of these things in different ways. When you hear what's happening in California, we can't not tie that to the case that we're working on right now. We are in court where they had to respond just yesterday about our fight to protect and secure Calvary Chapel while the state goes after them for millions of dollars in fines. $1 million fine, not much to the state of California. But to a church, again, this is Calvary Chapel San Jose. It can mean anything. Phone lines are open for you. I'd love to hear from you. When we get back, we are going to take all the calls that are going to come in at 1-800-684-3110. If you call in now during this break, I will do my best to get to every single call that we have. So Olivia, Tom, Bobby, and whoever else decides to call in, we're going to try to get to you coming up.
We do have a question coming in on YouTube. Maybe this will spark some conversation. Someone wants to know if Logan is running for Congress.
I don't think there's an open spot for me right now.
I mean,
now.
You can always run. It's a midterms are coming up. You can primary somebody.
That's true. I don't feel that need. I got more people watching here.
I can't think of a job you would like less than being a member of Congress.
Yeah. I can live here, or I got to live in D.C.?
Well, you got to be in D.C. a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm out already. See, that's yeah, I'm good. You know, I'll run for mayor. So, you know, I'll be mayor of this office.
I think you already are.
I thought they had made a graphic of me running.
That'd be real
fast. I saw
fast.
It out the corner of my eye. I'm like, that's some AI craziness. But no, it was just this graphic. Put it up. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double your impact right now during the Double Impact Drive. Scan the QR code if you see it on the screen. That was not me. That was a small child. So 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the air. Last call for calls for the day. I want to hear from you. But again, you're hearing me say it a lot today because it is time to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Have your donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith.
The best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are, we got two lines open, 1-800-684-3110. But let's just go in the order of which they come in. So many of you are calling about the state of California. We got one, though, on James Comey, too. So we're going to have some fun here. Let's go to Olivia calling in Virginia, listening on the radio. Olivia, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My opinion is that this, I would call them people, don't have any valid arguments or weighty arguments to defend their position. That's why they ask delay after delay. They don't have any arguments. That's it. Period.
Well, and Olivia, unfortunately, the courts in California, in many cases, did side with the state. And that is part of the reason. Yes, I understand where you're going. And I agree. I don't think they have great arguments
either. They
don't
have a leg to stand on.
But at the same time, they did win at the lower courts. That is why we were the ones that took this to the Supreme Court with Calvary Chapel, because that this fine is still in place. They're still trying to enforce this against them, this $1.2 million. But yes, their arguments aren't even based on whether or not the policies were good or bad. It's any of that. It literally is things such as, you know, this is already rescinded years ago, these policies, and it's very unlikely they're going to ever happen again. So therefore, this is kind of irrelevant at this point. Let's just move on. Another one of their claims also is why the Supreme Court should not take this is that the rulings in the court of California weren't the type of rulings that make precedent in the state. So they're trying to say that, look, the state courts didn't even make precedent, so therefore we don't have to worry about someone using what happened there to do it again. They're trying to get around almost the entire argument about the validity of some of these orders in general and go straight to, it's over, let's not waste your time, Supreme Court. Please don't take this, and let's just move on, and we're good. Like, it's not even appropriate for them to bring it to you. Don't even worry about it. That's how this kind of reads to me.
Yep. Olivia, thank you for calling. When we get rid of Olivia, now we have four lines open right now. In 6 minutes, I think we can take a couple more calls. 1-800-684-3110. If this inspired you, hopefully it inspires more people. Give me a call. Let's move on to Tom, who's calling in Virginia on line two. Tom, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Are you able to hear me all right? Because I'm driving.
Yeah, not bad. Go ahead.
Perfect. I'll be very brief because I know your time is precious. There was a very large church, I believe, in Los Angeles, and I'm not 100% certain, but I know that you all know. I think John MacArthur was the pastor.
Yeah,
the
really large Grace Community Church was the church.
Yeah, yes, sir. And he got fined billions, or the church did billions of dollars during COVID, but was able to recover that in court and actually got an apology from the state of Virginia. If I'm correct in that.
Tom, so what happened was that is a different facts, but kind of it does all relate.
Yeah, I can.
John MacArthur's church was being fined because they initially, remember, California said you cannot have an indoor church service.
Yeah, they had shut it down.
You cannot have a meeting or a gathering at all if you're a church. So they were directly saying you cannot practice your faith. You cannot exercise your First Amendment right to the freedom of religion. And that was through another case. The Supreme Court ruled pretty quickly that, no, you can't ban church services. You can maybe have some restrictions. You can try to have public health things, but you cannot outright ban indoor meeting of churches. And that actually led to a settlement with the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors, where the church was paid by LA County $400,000 as a part of that settlement. So all their fines went away, and they actually were able to get $400,000 from that violation from the state. So thank you also for bringing that up. Yeah. A lot of people in the chat, I see y'all as well, that bring that up, that yes, John MacArthur was
successful. Good memory here,
in that entire case and drama that the state was putting upon them. And we hope that even though the facts are different here, this is a different set of restrictions. It's not restrictions that were directly the Supreme Court ruled on. That it still ties in because it's all that COVID era mess.
Yep, absolutely. I see a lot of good comments, as you said, coming in about that. We do have a couple lines and 4 minutes, 1-800-684-3110. If you got a short call or comment, kind of the last call for them. Let's go to Bobby, who is calling from New York. Go ahead.
Hi, Logan. Hi, Will. You guys make a good team. I think you ought to go on tour. But my question is, I think the Supreme Court is going to take the case. So when they do, what are the odds of you guys winning? Do they look pretty good? And that's my question. Thank you.
I think you can look at a bit of the panel of the court right now and go, look, it's not a slam dunk always. You have many justices that, look, in a good way, vote for what they feel is right and constitutional. Don't necessarily always fall within a party line. However, I do think you probably have a better chance in the Supreme Court than maybe you do even in the state.
That's right. Actually, Bobby, the harder part is not winning it. I'm confident in our team. I'm confident in the legal arguments that the attorneys at the ACLJ have put forward. The hard part is actually getting the court to take it up. They don't take up that many cases. You hear about cases all the time, but there are so many cert petitions that the Supreme Court receives and they never take up. So many that we've filed in our history. The ACLJ has been blessed to make great precedent in this country through landmark decisions because we're so good and because the cases are so selective that we will take to the Supreme Court. But we have just as many that the Supreme Court deny cert to. So we right now have two cert petitions at the Supreme Court on very big issues.
Yeah.
This one and the New York Times v. Sullivan issue where we're going after CNN.
It's why these state fights or a city fight or a local fight is still very, very important. Yes, you can attempt to work your way up the system. That, number one, takes years to do. This is the federal government. This is the legal system. It is not fast. It is a big, big process. So you got to remember that when you're going into it. So that's why these fights that may seem localized are incredibly important. It is why we still want to have the best of the best in terms of the attorneys that we have up. I want to take one call before we wrap up today. Let's go to Derek calling on line one. Derek, take us home.
Hi, I'm Derek from Michigan. I just appreciate what you guys do. I just called the other day. I decided that I was going to take it a step further. I wanted to help. I became a champion today.
Thank you,
Derek. I want to urge everybody listening today, please join, help out. Truth, freedom, and justice matter. And you guys help a lot. You're Derek, amazing.
Derek.
And you guys give me hope for the.
I really appreciate that. It sounds like we put you up to that call. No, that we didn't. Derek just called and became an ACLJ champion today. Welcome. Thank you so much for becoming a champion. For those that don't know, a champion is those who give on a monthly basis, on a recurring donation. So thank you, Derek. You know, you could be a champion at $5 a month. You could be a champion at $500 a month. We don't, you know, change the titles of those. We really appreciate everyone who has decided to give on a monthly basis. We know it's not easy right now. We know things are tough. But when you give today also, Derek, again, thank you so much. It means the world to us, to everyone who is watching right now, everyone who's working on this show. It's people like you, Derek. Specifically, people like you who support the work, of course, get to help pay our bills. Because we don't take money from our clients. We are only supported by people like you. So I encourage you today to support the work of the ACLJ during the Double Your Impact Drive. All donations for the rest of the month are doubled. This is the last day of our traditional Double Your Impact Drive. Next week, we'll have a special opportunity for you and a special presentation week. I'm looking forward to sharing with you. So make sure you tune back in on Monday. And of course, you can find us wherever, whenever at ACLJ.org on all our social platforms. Talk to you Monday.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact.
And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.